Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Who is this who enters the doors of our temple, who overturns the tables, strews silver and gold on the floor, frees the sacrificial doves from gilded cages? Listen as they rise, the beating of their wings is a song of loud hosanna. Is Jesus of Galilee, the Son of God, who comes to cleanse the great temple, to restore its subverted chambers to a house of hallowed prayer? Then let us open the doors of our hearts even wider, so he can cast out the thieves who would take what is sacred and tender and turn it hard as gold in a fist. May the temple within us be a refuge where doves of peace roost in the rafters. May it be a garden that bears the fruit of a generous spirit. O Lord, take that which is corrupt and withered and let it break forth in beauty. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
A thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. And if I had a thousand tongues, still I could never sing enough. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. And if I had a thousand tongues, still I could never sing enough. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. And if I had a thousand tongues, still I could never sing enough. Breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. And if I had a thousand tongues, still I could never sing enough. Him ye deaf, his praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. And if I had a thousand tongues, still I could never sing enough. For a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. The glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
Let us join together now in our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the 19th Psalm. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy. And like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward, but who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Thank you. sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the second chapter of John, verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip out of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Recently, I reread an article in Christianity Today entitled, "Boring Church Services Changed My Life." The author writes that there was never a day in his life when he wasn't going to church. His parents were both heavily involved in the church. He writes that he believes more than ever that a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is what saves you. But he adds, "I also believe that in some ways church does or did save me. It didn't save me in the ways you might expect with a spectacular Sunday service or a home run sermon or a gripping worship set. God's primary tool to transform my heart was not the conference speaker or the traveling revivalist or the worship concert. Those events were important, but now I realize that more often God changed my life using routine worship services in which I sang hymns I didn't quite understand and heard messages I didn't quite grasp. Now, in dark and stormy seasons, what comes to my head first? The lines of hymns I learned as a child in church. The verses I memorized on Wednesday nights. The passages of scripture we stood and read aloud. During times of fear and anxiety, I drift back those words of hope." Now, the author is a pastor himself, and he finishes the article by writing, "When I think back on the simple routines, the liturgies that changed my life, I'm encouraged in my own pastoral role. I'm reminded afresh that the work of ministry is not so much about finding new, tantalizing ways to make people excited about Jesus, but about the timeless rituals that shape their hearts. Because somewhere in your congregation are children singing words that they don't know, listening to scripture that they don't understand, and fighting sleep during a sermon that doesn't hold their interest. They don't realize it yet, but the Spirit of God is pressing the gospel message through yet another boring church service deep within their hearts." Does that not convict your heart to get out there and try to get as many troubled kids in church as possible today? How many children live in the homes surrounding this church and in this community, and they're in bed or watching television or looking at their phones right at this very moment? How many of them are not even aware of what goes on in a church? How many do not know that Jesus loves them, that there's a God, that they're of sacred worth, and there are people out there who care about them? I'm afraid that there are tons of them, countless numbers of them. What can we do to bring them in, if not their parents, at least them? What can we do to make them part of the church? I think this is our only hope, and their only hope as well. If Nicholas Cruz or Adam Lanza or Dylan Klebold or any number of other kids who have went out and shot up our schools over the past 2 decades, if they've been brought up in a loving church, how many children would be alive yet today? Now, I'm not saying that churches are perfect. We're not. Churches hurt people. Churches have a lot of problems. After all, churches are made up of people. That's why the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be honest and sincere in its quest to find out what it means to truly be the Church of Jesus. I love the church. Jesus loved the temple, and he refused to allow the temple to be anything other than a place where people find God. When Jesus entered the temple in our gospel lesson for this morning, he found very little in the way of love for God and neighbor. Instead, it looked and sounded like an open-air market. The cattle were mooing, the sheep were bleating, the turtle doves were cooing, people were yelling, and coins were clanging. These things had to happen in order for the temple to function, but it had become almost entirely corrupt. The temple tax had to be paid in temple coinage, so money changers were a necessary part of what was happening that morning. The problem was that they were not giving people a fair exchange. They were ripping people off. Also, the people coming to the temple either brought their own animals for the sacrifice, or they could buy an animal from the temple. God had set this system up in order to aid those who traveled a long distance. It wasn't supposed to be about making money. In any event, what had happened was that since sacrificial animals had to be without blemish, even if folks had brought animals outside the temple and brought them in, the animals had to pass inspection. And due to the corrupt system, hardly any animals passed. So just about everyone had to buy an animal from the temple at an outrageous price. The temple had become corrupt. Greedy people were making money hand over fist at the expense of God's agenda, which is helping the poor, reaching out to the least of these, practicing social and economic justice, and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So Jesus drove all this mess from the temple area, and he said, "How dare you turn my Father's house into a market?" Because of this, the pilgrims couldn't celebrate Passover properly, and the temple lost a lot of revenue that day. We could easily point fingers at the churches that preached the prosperity gospel and seem focused on money, money, and more money, thus getting the pastors rich, richer, and even richer, as modern-day analogies of what made Jesus so mad at the temple that day. But we all get things wrong one way or another, do we not? There's not much point in bashing other churches. We need to just focus on ourselves. What can we do better? Where do we fall short? In any event, it should come as no surprise that the religious leaders questioned Jesus about his brazen attack on the temple. They demand of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" And Jesus answers, "See this temple? Destroy it. I can rebuild it in 3 days." They take Jesus literally, and it enrages them, and they remember it. Matthew and Mark tell us that this is the only specific charge that they bring against Jesus at his trial, and of course, it's thrown back in his face by his tormentors as he dies on the cross. But Jesus is not talking about the physical temple. He's talking about his body. His enemies will seek to destroy him. They will think that the deed is done, and for an instant, the shadow of the cross will seem to have won. But this will not be the end, for Jesus will rise up from the dead, and the Jewish man crucified outside of Jerusalem will be raised to stand forever, replacing the temple. People will try and destroy him, and they still do, but ultimately, all those efforts are in vain. Particular churches may come and go, and at times it may seem like the Church of Jesus Christ is sunk. We have so many buildings, huge structures around this world that were once filled but are now very or almost empty, even before the COVID pandemic hit. Almost every church across every denomination is in rapid decline. On any given Sunday, there are many, many more children out playing in their yards or sitting in front of the television or playing a game rather than sitting in church. And there are many, many more parents who are sleeping off a hangover or working or playing rather than bringing their kids to worship and to learn about God. We live in a culture that no longer values the church. We live in a very secular time. This is not a reason to give up. This is a reason for us to get busy. For where will these people turn when their going gets rough and things get dark? Will they grab a gun and go kill somebody? Will they turn to alcohol or drugs? What other options will they know of? There's a reason to learn what it means to be the Church of Jesus and to do it well and with integrity. Live it and be it. For the Church of Jesus Christ is the only hope for this world. We spoke last week of the Reverend Fred Craddock of the Disciples of Christ Church. And we're going to speak about him again here as he talks about visiting his father in the hospital as he was dying of throat cancer in Nashville. When he got there, he found that his dad was taking a nap, so he started looking at the flowers. the cards from Sunday school classes, church circles, the youth group, the choir, just about every group that you can think of in a church had remembered his daddy. Fred said that the remarkable thing about it was that his dad didn't go to church. His mom was active in the church, but his dad saw no need for it. Fred said that when his dad woke up, he smiled and reached out his hand because he could no longer speak. And after a while, his dad took out a pencil and wrote the following on the back of a Kleenex box. I was wrong about the church. Jesus gave his life in order to save people through the church. You are the church, and a good one, a really good one. As we prepare to accept Holy Communion today, I'd like to share just a few more words about that article that I read in Christianity Today. The author writes, week after week, as a young child, enduring the routines of our church, I didn't realize what was happening to me. This reputation built in my heart a deep reservoir of theology, and now as a husband and father and pastor, whenever I stand and sing the hymns, I can barely contain myself. At times I cannot sing, I can only weep. Some choruses evoke memories. These rituals train our hearts. We sing to ourselves songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. We hear the same gospel preached to us over and over again. We lift the cup to our lips and the bread to our tongues, remembering again our place at the King's table. Through these practices, God takes our hearts and seals them for his courts above. I want to ask you this morning, who's missing from the Church of Jesus Christ? Where are they this morning? Do we know how important it is that they be here, that we be here? What are we going to do about it? Let's pray. Truth be told, Jesus, there are a lot of tables that need overturning in our lives. Beneath the veneer of respectability, the tidy rows and the neat regulations, hide dark addictions and angry judgments, hungry greeds and heartless rejections. We know the pain, and so do those around us, of keeping up the facade. What a relief it would be to have it all upset, all smashed, all scattered, and all destroyed. So perhaps, Jesus, today you could pay us a visit and help us to radically arrange the furniture of our lives, the lives of this, your church. We pray these things in your name as you taught your disciples the model prayer and saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
My heart is so proud. My mind is so unfocused. I see the things you do through me, as great things I have done. And now you gently break me, and lovingly you take me, and hold me as my father, and mold me as my maker. I ask you, how many times will you pick me up when I keep on letting you down? And each time I will fall short of your glory, how far will forgiveness abound? And you answer my chant, I love you. And as long as you're seeking my face, you walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace. As I walk with you, I'm learning what your grace really means. The price that I could never pay was paid at Calvary. So instead of trying to repay you, I'm learning to simply obey you by giving up my life to you for all that you've given to me. I ask you, how many times will you pick me up? And I keep on letting you down. And each time you're seeking my face, you'll walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.